Good morning. I extend Christian greetings to you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior. He is risen. Amen. In 2020, our Savior is risen. How many of you are excited for 2020? Praise the Lord. That's almost unanimous. I am excited for 2020. I was preparing through Philippians, and so turn with me there to Philippians chapter 2, and I guess I got a little sidetracked. So as I was starting to study these next several verses, my mind just kept going back to preparation for the year and our goals and aspirations, and we like to make New Year's resolutions. I'm not a big resolution person, but I like goals. I think those are important. So I was studying here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. Paul writes, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." That phrase there, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," I don't know about you, but in my mind, that seems like it's going to take some planning. A little bit at least. How are we going to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling? Paul encourages the believers here at Philippi. He says that they were faithful even in his absence. Remember, this letter to the Philippians brings a lot of encouragement to them. Go with me to chapter 3 of Philippians and verse 14. Paul writes here, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So I want to look at that this morning, that planning in verse 12 and the mark in verse 14 of chapter 3. So I believe there the mark there is our goal. Paul had a goal. He had a sight set. And that's our first G this morning. I picked out three G's to look at. The first one is goal. A goal is the end toward which effort, I think that word's important, toward which effort is directed. Okay? You can't get a ball in the basket, right? Or a ball in the end zone without effort. It doesn't get there by itself, does it? It's different than a resolution, because a resolution would be the act or determination that gets you towards that goal. Okay, so you have to first establish the goal. Paul has it here. He says, "I press toward the mark." What about you? What's your goal? What's your mark? Do you have a goal? Have you established or set any goals for 2020? Do you have a one-year goal, a three-, five-year goal? I saw something interesting this week. I was on a webinar, and they said only 3% of the population writes down their goals. Only 3%. That's 3 out of 100. So, if you want to know, I'll let you know a secret. An easy way to beat out 97% of the people. Have you figured it out? Write down your goals. How many of you wrote down your goals for 2020? One, two. I have my hand up. I wrote them down. Two and a half. Okay, so we're about at that 3% right here. Interesting, quick survey, done, finished. Now, how many of you could write them down by next Sunday? Yeah, as long as you know how to write, I'll take that into account. Not every one of you do. But if you do know how to write, you could write them down. Now, what's easy to do is also easy not to do. I don't think you have to. I'm not saying that's going to get you to heaven. But it could propel you, right? It could be some propulsion, some fuel. I encourage you, seriously, I encourage you to write down some spiritual goals. What are some spiritual goals that you have for this year? And some personal goals. And then think about, meditate on them a little bit. How do they align with God's principles and His directives? You know, do they line up with God's Word? And then I would encourage you to break those goals down, because sometimes it might look a bit challenging. I'll tell you a challenging goal for me, and I want to be held accountable for this. We're working through Matthew chapter 5 right now. Well, Matthew chapter 5 doesn't end in chapter 5, does it? There's an entire sermon there. So my goal this year, and I already have a head start because we started last year. My goal this year is to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And I know I can do it. But what's easy to do is it's also easy not to do. That's a spiritual goal that I have for this year. But don't want to wait till December 30th to do it, right? You know, if I memorize a verse a day, I'll be done by June. That's not too hard, is it? When you break it down like that. So I would encourage you to break down that yearly goal into a quarterly and then maybe weekly or even daily goal. How can you take this big goal? Maybe you want to read through the Bible this year. Well, there's 66 books, right? There's 52 weeks. How are you going to do that? How are you going to accomplish that? Break it down. George Washington Carver said, "Where there's no vision, there's no hope." Do you know who George Washington Carver was? Who was he? Some of the young people. Anyone know that's younger than 13? Claudia, I think she knows. No? You don't know who George Washington Carver? Who knows? Okay, older than 13. Zach. With peanuts. Yeah, he really helped the South out a lot. He was a scientist, and he would be a great study for you to read his life story. I believe where there's no hope, there's no peace. You don't have any hope in your life. You have no peace in your life. And the Bible says in Isaiah 57, verse 21, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." I believe there are people here. I believe there are people around us, at our work, in our neighborhoods, that have no peace. They have no goals. We were at a youth conference the last two evenings. Really good, sold out by Brother Rick Rhodes. And he made a statement. He said, more important than where you are today is the direction in which you are moving. More important than where you are today is the direction in which you are moving. What direction are you moving? Where's your mark? Paul had his, I press toward the mark. He knew what his goal was. And we'll get to that a little bit more. The second G is gumption. Have you heard that word before? Gumption. I wasn't even sure that was a word. I'll be honest, I wasn't sure. I've heard it before. But I cheated and looked it up in the dictionary. And sure enough, it's there. It is a word. And it means spirited initiative or resourcefulness. Gumption. And you might have heard it like this. Well, he didn't have the gumption to get that done. Right? He didn't have the spirited initiative or resources to get it done. Where was Paul's gumption? He said, I press. I press. That was his effort to get him to the goal. That was his gumption. I press towards the mark. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. And verse 17, we'll look at verse 17 and 18. Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Can you see where Paul's mark is here? Does he make it clear? I think he does. I think he says it's on the things that are not seen. He said the things that we can see, that we can touch, that we can feel, taste, smell, they're temporal. He said, but it's the things you can't see. It's that mark that I'm reaching towards, that goal. He said, but our afflictions are here, right? Our burdens are here, right now. They oppress us. Paul wrote the Philippian letter from prison. He was a prisoner. What gumption do you have? Do you have the spirited initiative? Do you have that effort, that pressing towards the mark to get it done? Turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. I believe when we make our goals, we should be realistic about them. We should compare them to our abilities. Our abilities. Don't compare them to other people's abilities. Our topic on Wednesday night was really good about work. And, you know, he mentioned, Brother Jared mentioned about, you know, not everyone has the same ability. And I would say that as well. We can't all make the goal all our goals can't be the same. In Joshua chapter 14, we read of Caleb's goal. I'm going to start at verse 6 and read to the end of the chapter. It says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart." Remember, he and Caleb and Joshua went with the 12 spies. 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad, 2 were good. They were the 2 good ones, Joshua and Caleb. "Nevertheless," verse 8, "my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God, who made it into the land of Canaan." Joshua and Caleb, they were the only ones. Because everyone else from 40 years and younger, they'll die. They were the only ones, 40, that was their ages and older, that lived and could see Canaan. "And Moses swear on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. He watched everyone die, all his peers pass away, every last one of them. Imagine that. "Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years. He's 85 years old. 85. He says in verse 11, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was 45 years ago. That day that Moses sent me, as my strength was now, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in." Do you think Caleb was a liar? How can that be? Everyone else is dead. They didn't even live, and yet he has the same strength as he did 45 years ago. Well, it's an act of God. I believe it was miraculous. I mean, God caused all the other people to die, for their lives to be cut short, and he gave Caleb the strength because he promised him that he would see the land. Verse 12, it says, Caleb says, Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. What I wanted to take from there is that Caleb had a goal. He said, the Lord promised me this mountain, and he preserved me unto this day and gave me the same strength. Now, I don't believe he would have said, I can take this mountain, if he didn't believe it. I don't believe he would have said, I have the same strength as 45 years ago, if he didn't have it. I know I don't have the same strength as I had 20 years ago. But I believe Caleb knew. And so he knew he could fulfill that goal with the Lord's strength. The Lord had promised him that. And it was because he knew that he had followed the Lord. And because he had followed the Lord, God gave him that mountain. The last G I want to quickly look at is granite. Now, what do you think of when you think of granite? Probably countertops, right? A stone, certainly. Well, granite also means, if you look it up, it also means unyielding firmness or endurance. Unyielding firmness or endurance. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I believe when we have the right goal, the right mark, and we have the gumption, the pressing, God will give us granite, an unyielding firmness or endurance. Because in Paul's case, his mark was that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8, Paul says to Timothy, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. He's talking about that prize. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. That appearing actually means his advent. His advent. And I believe that could be referring to all them that love his first and his second coming. Because first you have to believe in the first coming, that he is the Messiah, and then his second coming. What are your goals? Are they grounded in biblical principles? Turn with me in your hymnal. I like to sing this song, but I'd like to look at it with you first. It's familiar to us, number 298. Joe, this psalm writer here was from Michigan. Yeah, he wrote this song back in the late 1800s. Notice the words to this song, though. He writes, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, that high calling, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I'm resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one, that just judge that Paul wrote about to Timothy. He hath the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth. He is the living way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me. Still will I enter in. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, will walk the heavenly way. That was my question to you. Who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. This is a commitment. This is a song of commitment. Let's sing this song. Charles, do you have a pitch for me? B flat. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, ease have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, these have the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Led by the Spirit, we walk ahead.